It's 12:06 and time for Friday Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOY. We'd love for you to join today's conversation, so give us a call at 260-452-1185. You can always email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or send us a Facebook page, a message on our Facebook page. I'm Sarah D'Elia, joined in the studio today by my art-centric partner in crime, Julia Meek.
And what an honor to be so, Sarah, with you in the studio and your art-centric partner in crime.
Oh, well,
and
yes.
It's the first Friday in December, and that means we're wearing our Penhallow Pointers team gear and ready for our first Friday romp through local art centricity with our favorite art head. Then that would be Steve. On his horizon, it's murder and mayhem and all kinds of madness. In this first section, sparks are going to fly, so have the fire suit ready as Holly Chaley joins us with her friend for a preview of tonight's Spark Circus. And after that, Steve's cracking an interactive mystery with Larry Bauer of Bauer North Productions. And for that, you may want to change to gumshoes, but
yeah, nice. Nicely done.
Thank you. First, as we love to do, Sarah and I each have a quick pick art tip to suggest. That's a sparkling gem among the treasure trove of this weekend's great art-centric happenings. You might want to consider, what is your pick, Sarah, and how did you make just one?
I know, there's a lot going on this weekend. It was difficult to make, but my pick is for the first Friday reading for a winter solstice folktale that's going on at the One World Cafe at Three Rivers Co-op and Natural Grocery Store, which is located at 1612 Sherman Boulevard in Fort Wayne. If you haven't been there before, it's tonight at 7:30 p.m. And if you hear Folktale and Fort Wayne, you think Julia Meek, and she'll be there with Jill Mozina playing some wonderful music. So should be a fun event. And again, that's at the co-op at 1612 Sherman Boulevard.
Thank you, Sarah. And you're right, I will be there too. So
I hope so.
I might see you there. In the meantime, I can't resist. Also tonight, it's much later tonight, and then I think we've got things going on all day Friday for you, just so your day's solid. But Locals Doing Locals, the third annual, which is fantastic, at the Brass Rail, and that's tonight at 10. And that's a night where the finest local bands in Fort Wayne pay compliment to each other by performing each other's songs for one night only. So there's Illegitimate Sons, Thunderhawk, End Time Spasm Band, and Flamingo Nosebleed, and them doing their own would be fantastic. Them doing each other's is just even more so. So come on down, 10 o'clock, and all proceeds are benefiting Aaron's House for Grieving Children, so it's a double wonderful thing to do. In the meantime, and as promised, it's Master Sleuth of the Art-Centric Division, Steve Penhallow. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you, dear?
How's the well, I am just well, and certainly overwhelmed, I think, with the holiday season.
But yeah, there's so much going on locally. It's
what is
extraordinary.
The Art Squad investigation report?
Well, you want to go right into the Spark Circus here, or do you want to talk generally about, off the top of my head, there's so many things going on, I can't even, I've memorized them, but my memory is not that big, so that's unfortunate, but
I think the sparks are flying.
All right, you want to introduce our guests here?
We have Holly Chaley, and that's always a treat from Catherine Casper Place, and she has brought her own partner in sparkitude here today to tell us about the most fantastic thing in the universe. I think, especially solstice speaking, would be a spark circus. So, Holly, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Tell us all.
Well, I have brought with me today Lauren Turco, who is a gem, another gem in the treasure trove, and she and her cohort Brent will be performing tonight at Deer Park Pub. We are having a kind of an impromptu circus, if you will. We started talking just last week about what they're doing. They're heading over to Thailand to work with some kids in the Burmese refugee camps, mm-hmm. of whom there are thousands and thousands. And she said to us, I was with a friend you will know, Tena Winker. Mm-hmm. She said to us, if only we could find a place to do a fundraiser in this town. And I said, name your size. Let's start working on that. So we happened to also be lucky to be friends with Tony Henry, who owns Deer Park Pub, and he has generously donated time and space and tents and has loved to help this effort.
He is really the angel everywhere on the tree, but really all year round.
Amen,
in his,
sister.
In his philanthropy. And so he is hosting this fantastic circus. I got to back up just a second. Lauren, how did you get into the circus business? I must ask.
Well, it was really unexpected. You know, we've been honing our skills for, you know, I've been hooping for 2 years, but my main skill is violin, and I've been doing that for 22 years. And then Brent has been spinning poi for 4 years, so we've just been practicing and practicing and going to fire festivals, and needless to say, we just happened to meet the right person at the right time, and this lady had mentioned about this organization, Spark Circus in Thailand, and it was love at first sight. We knew that is exactly what we wanted to do, so this is definitely a good, you know, entrance into a whole new realm.
Now, you were just, you mentioned some terms there, spinning, hooping, poi. Now, my sense of poi is sort of like the ground taro root that tastes like wallpaper paste. Mm-hmm. And so if you're spinning that, it's going everywhere and it's making
right.
a mess.
Well, poi, you know, being that it was originated from New Zealand, and you probably have seen in like Hawaii, you know, fire dancers and whatnot, poi can be, you know, used with LED lights, it can be used with baby shoes, it can be used with, you know, Kevlar wicks, which is what we'll display tonight.
Right.
But yeah, that's basically it. And, you know, they just spin them around and create incredible geometrical shapes, and photographers have a really good time with poi.
I've seen those pictures. Yeah, yeah. So where does fire eating fit into all of this? I mean,
this is also a fire performing arts skill that,
right.
you know, a lot of people do.
Not,
yeah.
not in right. fire skills 101, I would assume.
For some of us, it's just a hobby, but yeah.
Right. And even, have you seen devil sticks
yes.
before? Yep. Those you can also play with on fire. And then there's levee sticks, which looks like this wand's floating around, and
right.
Flow wand, they call it as well. But yeah, and a huge staff with Kevlar wicks on each side. Yeah, there's a lot of fun tools, you know, fire umbrellas, you name it.
Right, right.
Fire dress or jump rope.
Now, Spark is an international organization, right? Or a national organization?
It's getting there. We would like to see it get there.
Okay.
Internationally, being the volunteers involved.
Right.
But we are definitely a grassroots organization.
Right.
Up and coming. So we hope, you know, for it to expand, you know, and be able to be a beautiful nonprofit worldwide. So we're definitely, that's our part in bringing the awareness and getting people to donate, because the more people we can have donate and support this circus, the bigger this is going to be able to be.
Right.
So
tell me about the goal. I mean, there is an underlying mission of this thing, and tell me about that.
Well, why this project being?
Yeah.
Yes, play is a basic human right.
Right.
And children being in very disadvantaged situations, which is not their fault,
right,
deserve to have their childhood and their imagination. And that is where we come in. That's our part, is to help these children be able to experience their youth.
Right.
And we'll be donating, you know, these toys that we're going to be performing with, but also we'll do play shops by playing games with them and interacting like, you know, our teachers did when we were younger in school.
Mm.
It's just they don't have those opportunities.
Right.
Coming to them. So that's basically what we're going to be doing. And, you know, at parts we'll be pretending like we're clowns. So just to bring the magic to their life for a brief time that we're there.
Right.
So
how many performers are involved tonight? I mean, how many people?
Well, tonight, surely you'll see my boyfriend Brent and I performing, but
and
we
what's
also
Brent's nickname?
Mr. McFirepants.
Mr. McFirepants.
Whoa.
He likes to be
but
called
you're jealous,
by,
aren't you, Steve?
Yeah, I am.
Or
I am.
Barnum. Yeah. Barnum McFirepants.
I've tried to get people to call me that, and it hasn't stuck.
Other than liar pants.
Right, okay. Exactly.
I know. I've been waiting for my nickname to come.
Yeah, when is it going to come? When's my nickname coming? That's what I want to know.
I suspect it will. the magic, queen of magic, I think, might be part of that.
Well, I'll be honored.
What are the misconceptions about performing with fire? I mean, I guess people would think that's dangerous.
Well, you know, it's definitely a rush, and it's probably the most fun thing I've ever done in my life.
Wow, that's great. That's great.
Do you have a background in twirling or any kind of acrobatic thing that might have led you to it, the side way?
I mean, I loved hula hooping as a kid. I never
You don't
thought...
hula hoop with fire, do you?
I do, yes.
Whoa.
Wow. That's great. That's incentive to learn how to hula hoop, actually. That's an excellent incentive.
You might want to
If you're
know
bad at it, you'll get good at it really quick.
First. it's a lot of fun, and certainly it's a rush. It's amazing. I think fire is just one of those things that, you know, we have such a fear, but it's so bright and beautiful.
And
right.
A special symbol at this time of year also, at the darkest time of year. And that that brings us back to this most marvelous circus affair, the Spark Circus that you're having. If folks out listening have a question, we hope they would give us a call at 452-1185 or a post on Facebook.
Yep, or you can send us an email at middaymatters@nipr.fm. I want to ask a question really quickly because I'm fascinated by you and fire. I mean, I feel like you have to park fear at the door when you're doing hula hooping with fire and stuff like that. I mean,
you do.
Okay. I mean, that's
you just go into it. You just got to do it, you know? And that's basically the most important thing is just doing it. You know, like when you jump off a diving board for the first time, you just got to do it.
Cool.
Yeah.
If I ever get nervous before I open the mic, I'll just think about, well, I could be
It could be on fire.
It could be
and
on
then
fire.
You wouldn't want it. Yeah, no. Right, exactly.
And then in that case, I would just do it. I would just jump into it.
Jump right into it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
In the meantime, I would like to ask, well, both of you, and Holly certainly, you can speak to this. We are speaking about the number of disadvantaged children in these refugee camps is astronomical. Mm-hmm. We can't even conceive of a refugee camp, let alone one packed with all these kids. What does this mean to them?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, if you just think of a, you know, a child here, my daughter, who's 8 years old, I can't imagine her life any less wonderful than it is. And for these kids, tens of thousands of these kids, not having, as Lauren said, that basic right to play, because, you know, they're literally living in tents, kind of makeshift tarps and tents. And again, as Lauren said, not through any fault of their own. They're just, you know, this is what happens when civil war, any kind of war breaks out. And so they're living kind of in the jungles and day to day. And, you know, I imagine that they won't even know the words to describe what it feels like to have these folks come in. And one of the things that really struck me about it is that there's going to be such a cultural awareness raising. You know, these are children who probably haven't seen folks other than folks just like them, and here come some new faces, different faces from all over the world, you know, and smile is the same in any language. So I'm just very excited for them. I wish I were as cool as these folks.
We are, Holly.
Fire pants.
You're the one that walks through the hoops of fire to get things like this put forward.
Oh, let me just tell you, that is not me. I am a good rallier of people, but it's the people. It's John and Amy Maxwell from Ragin' Cajun Food Truck, who are coming with all of their fabulous food and donating a portion of their proceeds. It's Tony Henry, who's donating, as we mentioned, his time and space. It's Tenna. It's everybody who just in a flash. I mean, we literally rounded this up in 48 hours because this town is so full of cool, warm-hearted, giving people, and I couldn't be any more proud to be a relatively new, but a Fort Wayner nonetheless.
Yeah.
Where did you come here from?
Well, I can't say. I'm being sought after.
Are you in the witness protection program? Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to out you or anything.
No, actually from Bloomington. Grew up in Bloomington. Spent some time out on the East Coast and then landed here.
Well, welcome here.
Well, thank you.
That's great. Thank you for all you do. Yeah, Catherine Casper places such a wonderful organization. And all of your offshoots and all the spark you throw into the world, quite literally, bringing such a circus into town. Also to mention, I know there's a silent auction going on, mm-hmm. and I know there's wonderful music. Tell us a little bit about the silent auction and what folks can be tempted to bid on.
Well, we certainly, being artists, we support our friends who are artists as well. And so we have a lot of our friends who are contributing their art, be it macrame, ceramics, glass, and even paintings or photography as well. And I think also Starbucks donated 2 gift baskets for us. So this is going to be a really Lovely. Nice mixture of stuff, but also it's going to be really beautiful and probably items that most people have never seen before as well. So I'm really excited.
So this really is a spectacular occasion.
Yeah.
And folks can really turn on to so many things at this darkest time of year that they're going to just enjoy, not the least of which would be music by Scratch and Sniff and the DJ Josh Elias. Am I saying that correctly?
Correct.
So that's fantastic. And also, it looks like the meal, the specialty meal that's being there, and which it sounds like quite a large portion of that goes to your fundraising also. And that would be an egg roll and samosa and tea. What a lovely.
Yep, some hot tea on a cold night, mm-hmm. I think would be nice.
Oh, which reminds me, if you have a hot tea aversion when you're at a pub, the pub is serving up special circus beers tonight, too. So you can come
Now, what are special circus beers?
Okay, you're going to ask me.
Because I thought circus performers weren't very particular about that.
No, yeah, but you know, imagine if you're going to jump through a hoop of fire, you might want to have your last beer to
be a really good one.
So they have Stroh's Fire Roasted Beer, and then the other one is the beer from Thailand. Can you remember the name of it?
Is it Singha?
Yeah. Singha beer. Singha.
Oh, that's great.
Singha beer. Among all the other, you know, thousands of good beers they have. But it's a very fun circus-themed night. The food, that food is from some folks in town who are making it. And if you haven't had Burmese food.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's a treat. That's worth the that'll just throw some spark in your life.
Amen. Yeah, it's going to be a great time. I know the weather sounds a little iffy, but there will be tents outside. Children are allowed to come in to use the restroom. It's not going to, you know, it's going to be a great party, a good time if you can stop by. I believe Lauren and the crew will be throwing fire and spooning. Not spooning
boy. Spooning.
Spinning points. From the very beginning to the very end. So, you know, if folks can come out at any time of all. I wanted to mention Catherine Casper Place and the Downtown Improvement District have donated an auction item that includes some passes to the Dance Collective and to the Botanical Gardens. So there's a little bit of something for everybody.
Yay. That's great.
You, that is a lovely. The whole package that you put together as this Spark Circus Party fundraiser is just the perfect touch, I would say, for the very first Friday in December.
It's an interesting event, and it's an interesting venue to do it at, and it's a very attractive thing. That's great.
Not just fire performing arts, but also with the music, Scratch and Sniff. That's mm-hmm. my father's band, so you'll also get to see me performing violin with them as well. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Do you light any part of the violin or the bow on fire?
That's in the talks, in fact, so... I don't know about this evening, but okay. Certainly down
Didn't
the road.
Didn't mean to do
it's
a spoiler either. Now to recap, really, really quick, as we we'll do a whole rundown. But describe again. There will be a giant tent out.
Right. There's a tent out in the parking lot, and of course the pub is open as well. Mm-hmm. There will be kids are going to be allowed out in the tent area, and if they need to use the restroom, they can go inside. Okay. The food truck, Raging Cajun, will be there. There will be Burmese food inside, silent auction inside, music of all manner inside. If you come, you immediately improve your street cred. You can be circus friends. Yeah, a lot of benefit all the way around.
That's great. And all the fire is going on outside. There's not like any...
as far as Tony knows, yes.
Like next to the pinball machine, there's not going to be somebody.
Yeah, and inside the tent as well, we might do some LED... show for you as well. So,
okay.
Yeah, a little bit of fire, a little bit of lights, and definitely art and good food and good music.
That's great. And free. And free.
Free will donation.
I should point out, though, because they're raising funds to go over and to share the joy with kids and provide the kids some stuff they're leaving behind, the hula hoops and the friendship bracelets and all of these toys and things, we are kind of hoping that people will come loaded down with cash. Checks are okay, but there will not be a way for folks to take credit cards at this event.
That's an important thing for us to mention. Yep.
Right.
I'm glad you thought of that.
And I know Raging Cajun definitely prefers cash, and their bread pudding is worth it. So bring extra. Bring all your cash and kiss it goodbye. But
think how much fun you'll have. It sounds like you can have fun for yourself. You can bid on auction items that really do sound fantastic.
Oh, I just remembered as well. There's going to be a tree filled with origami art made by local Burmese students at the Anthus Career Center.
Those will
be for sale.
Oh,
and
great.
That will be, I think, cash only for that as well. But definitely good ornaments and Christmas holiday
gifts. Take
home a
piece of the Spark Circus with you.
Right, exactly, exactly. So...
Well,
very cool.
It sounds absolutely wonderful. And again, really to thank the Deer Park Irish Pub and
Definitely.
The Henry family for being such sweethearts. And this is tonight. It's from 6 to 9 p.m. Deer Park's just across the street from St. Francis.
Mm-hmm.
And free will donations at the door will be benefiting Spark. And we can't thank you enough, I guess.
Thank you.
Fire on.
Flame on. Flame on, as they say.
Like
yes, in Marvel
Flame
Comics.
On.
That's right.
Thanks for having us.
Really it is our pleasure.
Thank you,
Julie.
And,
thank you for
we
coming.
Should also remind people that we do have this information posted on our Facebook page, and so you could go to Midday Matters and find it there. Also, if you can just search for Spark Circus on Facebook and get all of the information.
Yep.
All right, Julia, Steve, and I need to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more of Friday Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOI in just a few moments.
Are you working for the weekend? Plug into the Friday Vibe. I'm Bill Forsyth, playing jazz of all types from all eras, plus blues, a little pop, folk, and rock to roll you into the weekend. The Friday Vibe, 7 to 11 on your home for jazz in Northeast Indiana, WBOI.
Good afternoon. I'm Liberty Stump for WBOI News. As Governor Mitch Daniels prepares to leave office next month, he says the state can't let up on the progress and reforms of the last 8 years. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports on the governor's talk with members of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce Thursday.
Thursday's event revolved around Indiana Vision 2025, a long-term economic plan developed by the chamber over the last couple of years. Daniels shared his thoughts on where the state should be headed, and he says Indiana can't undo the steps it's taken so far, particularly in K-12 education.
We cannot back up, we cannot interrupt, we can sure not have it rolled back by folks who want it the way it always was, because the way it always was wasn't good for our kids and it wasn't good for our economy.
Daniel says he also wants to see the state go further in advancing its infrastructure. He says that includes changes such as creating a dedicated truck lane on major highways throughout the state.
That is conducive to commerce and speeds the flow of commerce and does all the good things that would flow from that, while increasing safety and convenience for the non-commercial traffic that we have.
As the next president of Purdue University, Daniel says he'd also like to see greater cooperation between the state's higher education institutions. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
Indiana authorities have temporarily suspended the medical licenses of two pain management doctors over their prescribing practices. The Indiana Medical Licensing Board suspended the licenses of Dr. Leah Marlowe of Jeffersonville and Dr. William Hedrick of Fort Wayne until the board meets again on January 24th. The Indiana Attorney General's Office says Marlowe this year has given more than 8,000 prescriptions to nearly 3,500 patients at her cash-only clinic, and nearly all of them received addictive oxycodone. The office accused Hedrick of unsafe drug mixing practices and unusually high use of painkiller prescriptions. It says several of his patients have died from drug toxicity. Hedrick's attorney says he denies the state's charges, but agreed to the suspension. A call to Marlowe's clinic in Jeffersonville went unanswered Thursday evening. 80-year-old Indiana Senator Richard Lugar will be going back to school when he wraps up his work in Congress this month. From WFYI in Indianapolis, Sharon Allseth reports.
Lugar will teach at the University of Indianapolis and help the school start a Washington internship and study program, the Richard G. Lugar Academy. Lugar has hosted symposiums at UIndy for young aspiring leaders for 36 years, and his spokesman says continuing that work is a natural fit to teach students about national and international issues. As mayor of Indianapolis and U.S. Senator, Lugar's political offices have been breeding grounds for some of the best and brightest students and interns. Governor Mitch Daniels got a start as a Lugar intern. The UIndy Academy will include a branch office in Washington and will offer policy studies, conferences, and other activities. A Lugar spokesman says the senator is also discussing work he can do with Indiana and Georgetown universities. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Sharon Allseth in Indianapolis.
Governor Mitch Daniels says Indiana leaders should revive plans to build a highway that would connect major interstates and communities in central Indiana. Daniels told business leaders gathered at an Indiana Chamber of Commerce conference Thursday that the highway would help improve traffic flow and economic development and could be financed through a public-private partnership. Reports say there's renewed interest from top state lawmakers in the highway, which would link communities stretching from Martinsville, southwest of Indianapolis, to Pendleton, northeast of the city. Senate Appropriations Chairman Luke Kenley says he would like to see the highway studied again. The idea for the Indiana Commerce Connector was originally pushed in 2006, but withdrawn amid opposition from communities where the proposed highway would run through. And now back to Midday Matters with your hosts, Julia Meek and Sarah D'Elia.
Welcome back to Friday Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOY. The time is 12:33. If you have any questions or comments, please do give us a call at 260-452-1185. You can always email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or post on our Facebook page. I'm Sarah D'Elia, joined by our partners in crime, Julia Meek and Steve Penhallow today. We're going to be switching gears a little bit, Julia.
A little bit, because it is Penhallow pointers that we're studying. And with Steve and his next guest keeping in the whole theme of things, well, they tend to be a mystery.
That's right. Yeah. In more ways than one. Yeah, we have Larry Bauer and his wife, Teresa Bauer, from Bauer North Productions. And tell when was this organization founded? Tell a little bit about the history here.
Yeah, Steve, we actually go back to about 1987, where my partner, Alan North,
right,
was the one who actually suggested we do this. That's, by the way, that's the name Bauer North. We continue, even though we lost Alan about 11 years ago to cancer. But the name Bauer North keeps going. But a lot of people say, oh, is there a Bauer South or whatever? But that's where the name Bauer North came from. And we actually met in a play, a mystery, an Agatha Christie mystery, A Murder on the Nile, for the Arena Dinner Theater.
Interesting.
And we were, you know, after rehearsals talking, and he said, you know, they do these audience participation mysteries in a lot of cities around the country, something we ought to try here. And I said, oh, yeah, sounds like a good idea. But a couple of weeks ago, he actually had a script on my desk, and we looked through it, and we went ahead and did it, and sort of the rest is history, as they say.
Now, what is an audience? I'm sure there are a lot of people who've been to these things, but explain what an audience participation mystery is, or an interactive mystery. I mean, what is involved in that?
Yeah, well, in our case, and different troops do it differently, but we interact with the audience, and it's no secret who we are. We don't try and blend in and just be, part of the audience. We are very boldly drawn, colorful characters,
right?
And we mix and mingle with the audience. The real participation comes in. We always have someone from the audience play a role in the play. Usually the body. They end up dead, so they don't have a lot of lines. And we do that at the top of the show, and we do a lot of corporate events and so forth, and companies love to see their CEO get bumped off, something like that. So that works very well. But everything we do is very lighthearted. It's not deep and dark Agatha Christie mystery. It's very lighthearted, upbeat, almost detective spoof.
Right.
I play Detective John Fieldstone, who's sort of a cross between Maxwell Smart and Inspector Gadget. He never quite gets it right. The audience has fun seeing him sort of bumble and stumble through the mystery, but in the end, aha, he pulls it all together. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Now, tell me about how has John changed over the years? I mean, it seems strange to ask you if there's been some character development, but maybe there has been,
You've been waiting forever to ask that question.
Yes, I have been, actually.
What'd you say, Teresa?
Was there ever character development in Gilligan's Island?
Not as much as Gilligan's Island, yeah. Fieldstone hasn't, he's sort of every man in a way. I mean, we all have our foibles, we all make our mistakes. We all do embarrassing things, but we like to think that, in this case, we're the greatest detective on earth, And that's sort of been his mantra. I'd say what has changed is the number of characters, for instance, to make it more economical. When Alan first wrote the play, our first play was actually more of a typical mystery. It was a two-act play. It was a full-length mystery, not like you'd see down at the Civic. In fact, we did perform it at the Arena Theater and had like 12 characters. Now we've scaled it down, so we're mostly in demand for after-dinner entertainment for events. So we try and keep it to about an hour, and we have five characters. We started out as a hobby, but now we actually pay our cast, so five's easier to pay than 12, I'd say that's been the biggest change. We've kind of hit on that formula.
That's great. How many of these have you written over the years?
I think we have about 40 of them in our archives. Many of them written by Alan. I've written the later ones, or some I've simply taken his script and tried to update it, because he was a very good writer and very witty. And again, we do a lot of tongue-in-cheek humor, and we one of our lines is, you'll die laughing at a Bauer North mystery. And whether or not you solve the crime, you'll have a good time. So it's more about entertainment than solving mysteries, really.
Yeah. Now, does your wife always play a role in these things? Or
not always, but we're always happy when she does. Tell them what you're playing in the current one.
Oh, yes. I'm the French housekeeper. I started out 22 years ago as the French maid, but I'm too old to play the French maid, so I'm the housekeeper. Yeah. And my name is Mimi Dewey. Yeah. The name has undergone some transformation, too.
Well, she does a great job, she's been in many, but we have probably a repertory company of maybe 12 characters we draw on, depending on their availability, that sort of thing.
That's great. And there's always a meal involved in this, right?
There is. Now, we don't provide it. That the host provides the meal, and it's usually we're a little bit under the radar, because most of what we do is for private venues, maybe fundraisers for nonprofits or churches or a corporate party, which we're doing several of here in the holiday season. And they usually provide a meal. So we do travel. We don't have our own theater, so wherever the event is, that's where we go. So we've set up and performed in everything from living rooms to the Grand Wayne Center. So
right.
So the current mystery, the case of the Christmas Star.
Yeah.
It's a holiday whodunit.
Yes, it is. It takes place the night before Christmas in the house of a mansion of Dominic Radner, who's just returned from Africa, where he is a museum curator, and he has procured the world's most valuable diamond, known as the Christmas Star, from the diamond mines of Africa. And Christmas Star, right at the top of the show, becomes missing, and Dominic Radner, who is played by an audience member, is found in a chair with a dagger stuck in him. Well, who done it and why and who's responsible? Well, that's what both the theft and the murder, and that's what the plot is centered around.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Now, the audience, I mean, there's got to be some room for ad-libbing, right? I mean, that's got to be a big part of it.
Well, we do some. It's pretty tightly scripted, but... Right. We have some mavericks like our friend Scott Nedberg,
right.
who will stop the play, walk down, and comment to somebody in the audience about something. So we just have to keep our composure and see if we can get back on track. But no, we do a lot of that. But the rest of the audience participation is at the end of the show, after the detective says, aha, everyone fills out a crime report with their best guess as to who done it.
Aha.
You know, aha. And the... you know, those buzzwords, motive, means, opportunity, who can figure it out. We collect the reports and quickly go through them and decide which one we feel best solves the mystery. And then we honor the super sleuth of the evening and we give them a little prize.
And there's also audience participation at the top of the before the show,
right,
actually.
That's
during
the
social
mingle.
Hour. Right. Yes, mm-hmm. We're in character and mixing and mingling. And if people want to pump us for information, they can. If they just want to do some witty repartee, we'll do that. Hopefully.
And some people really, really get into it. Others are, you know, like couples. One comes really into mysteries. Mm-hmm. The other one just says, hey, entertain me, you know. And and they may, I mean, you can participate to the degree you want. You know, you're certainly not forced to. If you just want to sit down and enjoy the show, you'll see a very funny show. So, yeah.
That's great. Is there like a literary mystery tradition that's being drawn on here? I mean, is there a particular, when you think of something maybe in a book that someone might read that would be a match for this, is there something out there like that? Or
I couldn't say that there really is any.
It's kind of smacking up of two different genres. It's a slapstick comedy and mystery.
Right,
The traditional mystery, because there is a solution to the crime, just like any good mystery, but it's the presentation is rather buffoonish, but fun.
A lot of rapid-fire dialogue, a lot of one-liners, and the cast is always putting down John Fieldstone, and always the running gag in every show is they're always mispronouncing his name. It's Field Corn Limestone, you know, Field Rock, Field House, anything but Fieldstone, and you know, he's always trying to correct him, then finally gives up, you know.
Now, is Fort Wayne a setting for these, or is
not just necessarily generic? It's generic, yeah. It could be anywhere USA, and realize we perform in many different communities. We were just in Coldwater, Ohio a couple of nights ago, and tomorrow night we're going to be in Angola. And so we travel, and we're always in a different place. And we've covered quite a few miles in the past 20-some years, as far south as Kentucky.
Elizabethtown,
Kentucky, right. We've been up to the Chicago area. We used to go to Flint, Michigan regularly, Columbus, Ohio. So we kind of cover the region and try and get the word out that have show, we'll travel.
Now, how far afield have you played one of these? I mean, how far away have you gone?
I would say Chicago, that Chicago one.
Chicago was quite a stretch. Also, down in the Louisville area.
Yeah, down in Louisville, right.
A long drive.
Yeah. And I'll never forget the one in Columbus, Ohio, where the family wanted the mystery.
It was a family of seven.
Seven. And they hired us to drive to Columbus and do our whole show in their living room.
Overnight accommodations.
Yeah.
Wow. With just them.
Seven
just
people.
Just those people.
Wow. And they were their own audience. But oh, my goodness.
Right, they had a great time.
Mystery lovers.
We had a great time. And there you go, you know. That's what it's all about.
That's great. That's very unusual. How interesting. So when Alan, and I knew Alan, and what an interesting guy, and what a funny guy. And when he passed away, did you have a moment where you thought maybe we're done with this? Or
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Of course, you go through the grieving process. He's a really good friend, mm-hmm. and we all really respected and loved him. And, you know, but then we thought, well, what would Alan want, for one thing? Mm-hmm. And I think he would have wanted us to continue. Plus, we had all these props and scripts, and,
sure.
you know, and
right.
what are you going to do with them? So, we kept it going. We did reframe a little bit hone things down and format it just a little bit differently. But, the idea of it and everything, we definitely owe it all to Alan.
Yeah,
sure.
That's great. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. great. Are there people who still sort of, you know, come and say they've been going since those days? And
we have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have. I saw you back in such and so, you know. Right, you
haven't changed a bit.
Yeah.
I don't hear that a lot. That we do. And a lot of times people will say, you know, I saw you back and so forth. Now, is it going to be the same mystery? Well, we're getting to the point where it could be, because we recycle some that have been 5, 6 years. We haven't done them for 5 or 6 years.
Right.
That were favorites, you know. And sometimes people say, oh, you know, I saw that show before, but, you know, it was just so much fun the second time around.
I saw
stuff I didn't even remember and so forth. So, yeah.
Well, fun. And you update them.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Now, what is it, when you update them, what do you have to do? I mean, are there references, like topical mm-hmm. references
yes,
that have to
yes,
be updated?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, as you
current
get
the, trivia,
right,
popular
the
culture,
world of technology, Facebook, you know,
right,
stuff like
right,
that, just
right.
buzz things that people can more identify with now. Mm-hmm. But because it is almost vaudeville shtick, it really does appeal to the older set as well as mm-hmm. and we try and keep it fresh for the younger audiences too. But hopefully, we have a little something for everyone there.
Now, where do you, the mechanics of things, since you're always in the field, you're going out and performing there, mm-hmm. where do you keep your props, your sets, your costumes?
It's a very, very simple set. I travel in the bed of a pickup truck that okay. says Bauer North Productions on it. We just set up a backdrop, lights, and need about a 10x12 playing area, and some hand props backstage behind the curtain. It's not a real proppy show or productiony show. It's all about personality and being right in there with the audience. Mm-hmm. We don't like to be on stages like maybe down at the Civic or something where you have to look across the footlights and everything. It's a very intimate type of theater. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Now, how do you go about it? It must be fun to write these kinds of things. I mean, it must be kind of a blast. It's
well, you're a writer, and you know sometimes the hardest thing is to start writing.
Sure.
And it is difficult for me. But we, you know, we talk about it. We'll have little idea meetings and throw some things out. And if you get a germ of idea, then it takes me a while to do it, but I can get it done eventually. This past one, I can't remember. It was written quite a while ago, actually.
Well, originally it was written for Christmas 1990, but it's been updated 3 times since.
Yeah,
and
so.
It's almost a completely different show, except for the name and the diamond.
Right, right.
Larry has just totally, totally redone it.
Yeah.
The crime's not committed the same way.
Right, and so we try and it's, at least freshen them up, but the ones that we're good in the first place, we just try and tweak
sure.
them and keep them going.
Like an Agatha Christie classic. Mm-hmm.
There
sure.
you go. Exactly. But we're really looking forward to next Friday night, the 14th. That's when we're going to be performing in a public show now. A lot of what we do is private, but this is a public show downtown at the Courtyard Marriott.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a dinner show, and they do a wonderful job with dinner. And they start out with a champagne reception and appetizers that are included in the price, and then a very nice holiday buffet, and then the show. And they've sold quite a few tickets, but they have more to sell, and anyone who's interested, I hope they'll give them a call.
Now, how do you handle that kind of, this venue, because you like to be out and about with them, so they will have, everybody will have had their feast, and then you'll all be sitting there at the tables, and then the mystery begins.
That's pretty much it. It's a dinner theater. We perform right in the room where they're eating. As soon as the servers have given them that last splash of coffee and everything, the lights come up and on stage, and away we go. Usually they have risers for us to perform on
okay.
for a stage, which they do. And we did it there last year, had around 100 people. I think they're over 100 already, but they can handle up to 200, so
Yeah. That's great. Now, tell me about your comedy sensibilities. I mean, obviously, you do this. You've done the Abbott and Costello thing with Brad for a while. Where did this love of this kind of classic comedy come from?
I've just always loved classic comedy, Abbott and Costello. I'm so glad to see you can you can Google them now and go on YouTube and see their original bits, which are a lot of fun. We're just trying to keep vaudeville alive, you know. Somebody's got to do it. But, Brad and I have done it. Scott Nedberg, who's in our cast, we're currently doing the Abbott and Costello bit, and we do go out and have a separate. I mean, if you don't want the mystery, we come out with a vaudeville show, about a half hour of just fun shtick that always includes several Abbott and Costello pieces. Yeah.
That's great. How did you guys start doing the Abbott and Costello thing? When did that start?
You know, I don't know when it actually started. I think maybe with Alan, wasn't it?
You first started it, I believe it was with Brad.
Yeah, no, yeah. But I mean, but didn't Alan come up with the idea? Because
it was like 1994, yeah, so right. Alan was still the artistic director at that time, so yeah. Yes.
And then Brad and I did it for a number of years. In fact, we got to... I think one of the biggest or best performances we got to do was for the opening of the Baseball Hall of Fame down in Cincinnati, the Great American Ballpark.
Oh, that's great.
And they brought back all the big red machines, Sparky Anderson and all those people, and they had us do Who's on First down there. Which
oh,
was,
wow.
That had to be one of your crowning moments.
That was a thrill. That was really a thrill. Got a lot of pictures we're keeping from that, yeah.
Do you feel like you can sort of channel those characters now? I mean, you know, after playing them for so long, it must be kind of second nature at this point. I've never seen you guys do it, but it seems to me that Brad would be a great Lou Costello.
Yeah,
I mean, he has that kind of...
He is, because he's got that charm. Same with Scott Nedberg. He really looks like it. He's a little shorter and squat, you know.
Right.
And, of course, he always says, I'm the tall, thin one, you know, me. both of them excellent in playing those roles, yeah.
Do you feel like you're educating people about vaudeville in this class?
I mean,
because more and more it seems to me this is maybe falling away.
Hope so. In fact, we go to Woodside Middle School every year, and we're going down to Norwell Middle School here in a couple of weeks. And, yeah, every year. And we talk to the kid. Before we do our Abbott and Costello's bit, we talk to him a little bit. What was vaudeville? Where did it come from? Little bit about it. Why it was so popular? Why it was before the age of technology when your entertainment, you had so many sources of it. People would go to a theater later in movies, and this would be their entertainment or radio. And it was a different time, but I don't think that should be lost. I think it's important that kids realize where humor comes from and the transitions from way back then.
Right.
And the kids really connect to it because it's very similar humor to what they see in their cartoons.
Sure.
You know, Pixar,
sure.
Disney, all of that.
Right.
And except we're live people.
And the classic cases, situations that occur that really are timeless, I think, that you can share with them.
Right. Yes. And just seeing live theater. A lot of these kids, you know, they get their theater, you know, off something they're holding in their hand.
YouTube,
their iPads and cell phones and connecting through Google and everything. And that's fine, but if that's all you're getting, you're missing a lot. You really need to have live theater in the mix.
Do you ever see you ever see yourself retiring from this, or do you think you're gonna die in the saddle, or
the latter?
Yeah, we'll probably keep it going. I mean, you know, there's gonna be a point where I can't play the detective maybe unless I use a walker coming on stage.
John Fieldstone coming up.
But
our
there's
son.
We got a son, 15-year-old Andrew, who has quite a propensity for drama, and he's doing some stuff at Concordia.
I saw him dressed as Edward Scissorhands.
Youth theater, stuff like that. So he could maintain an interest in it. There'll be a point I'll step
take
back
over the family business for John Fieldstone.
Yeah, right,
hang in there another 5 years, Lair.
Okay, yeah. We'll try. Yeah.
Where did your interest go clear back to your youth or your dabbling in theater or slapstick comedy?
Yeah, theater, I think, you know, back to high school and the class plays and some in college. And And then really, when I'm from Iowa originally, but when I moved to Fort Wayne, I got heavily involved in the Civic Theater in the Dick Casey days.
Oh yeah, sure, mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
And learned a lot from that man. Of course, he was a professor at the New York Academy of Art, Dramatic Arts, and you couldn't work with him without learning something, I'll tell you.
But I think you couldn't see one of his performances without learning something.
Oh, that's
even,
true.
You know, so yeah,
absolutely, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
A good name to remember. Mm-hmm. Do you find that kids, because they're not as exposed to so much drama, and it's wonderful that you expose them to the direct, are they shy to perform?
I don't know. Would you say their kids are shy to perform? I think in some cases it just depends on the personality of the kid.
Yeah.
But stepping
out and trying something out of the box, something original, and taking that risk to possibly embarrass themselves. Need a little bit more of a push.
Especially when
you're
younger.
Not our son and his friends, but yes, they're the exception.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But once they get a taste for it and they get some confidence with it, you know, then they're bit by the bug.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get asked to do kind of educational type stuff? I mean, do people say, teach me how to do this kind of comedy?
I haven't, but I'd be happy to do that. any chance we get to educate, we'd be happy to do that. But I think the closest to that is that we do work in some schools. Another thing I've done... as under the umbrella of Bower North is portray Abraham Lincoln, and I've got to.
Yes, I noticed that on your website.
What, go to some
schools
for that. Is
that pretty straightforward?
Yeah,
you are Lincoln.
Right, just Lincoln, just like Fritz Klein.
Sure.
Out at the Johnny Appleseed Festival every year, and so forth. He's a better. I'm not saying I'm of his stature of Lincoln. He's the best in the nation. But I've studied Lincoln and tried to impart some of his boyhood years up through the presidency in about a 45-minute presentation.
That's interesting. Yeah. Wow. Now, have you seen the new film? And
I haven't yet, but you probably have. You probably,
no, I haven't seen it.
Oh, I thought you maybe have reviewed it.
No.
But I hear it's a must-see, so...
I certainly enjoyed it. And I would say everybody's interpretation of the man and the feeling, that sounds like something that you must share with the kids. I mean, you're up close and personal with the kids, and you're channeling Lincoln, perhaps. How do they react to getting to... see the visual of Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I did a publicity shot down at the replica of the Lincoln cabin down in Foster Park, you know, and walking up to it, I had people kind of nod their head respectfully and say, "Hello, Mr. Lincoln." and I tip my hat to them and so forth. But kids. Well, let me say this. I did it for some middle school kids, and they were actually quiet during the performance. I think that's the greatest.
Right. That is, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Great testimony, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we need a quick recap. We've got a lot of potential. First and foremost, tell folks how they can find you.
Right. We have a website. It's bowernorth.com, BOWERNORTH.com. And they can see a little video of a clipping of one of our mysteries, and they can get some information on the other things we do and contact information and so forth.
And
so,
we put the information for the upcoming performance, The Mystery of the Christmas Star, on our own Facebook page, Midday Matters, but give a real quick recap on how folks can find that, enjoy it, and get tickets for that.
Yeah, and it's at the Courtyard Marriott, the new hotel downtown, right next to Parkview Field. And a phone number down there, their general number is 490-3629. And they will direct you to a delightful lady named Carol, who will take care of you. But you do need reservation. Yeah, Christmas Carol.
Yes, there you go. There you go. Very nice.
Very good. Actually, she'll be happy to take your reservation, but you do need reservations. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks.
And that's Friday, December 14th.
Thanks so much to all of our guests today and for all of our listeners. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1, streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, and Fresh Air is up next.